Welcome, Dennis.
Welcome.
The floor is now yours. Gather up.
Do we have the oriental, or I don't? I think I've got everything pretty much on in the packets and stuff. You should be able to see where we're at.
Do you want me to see that?
We've got time if you want to see about getting me over here.
Do you guys have your packets or have that information available for you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we ought to be okay. The first agenda item that I have for you is a request for variance to the minimum site area of our standards. And this request is made by the Sibley County Historical Society and the Old Montrose Place for variance to allow for a minimum site area, basically to carve off 0.21 acres of the ranch property, which encompasses some of the original Fort Bonneville site out of Daniel. This portion of that property then would be donated to the Historical Society and the State of Wyoming for the maintenance of the Fort Bonneville site out there. The original site was, and the original site was created through the Wyoming Historical Society and put on the Wyoming Historical Registry in about 1929. And since that time, in 1968, 1989, they did some further excavations and found that the original property that they had described did not encompass the Fort Bonneville site. And so with this, as we've done on a couple of other smaller pieces, this would create the additional land to encompass the historic for the Fort Bonneville site, and it would be donated to the Historical Society and operated in conjunction with the Suffolk County Historical Society and the Wyoming and the National Registry for the Wyoming Historical Society. With this proposal, we have a new map which designates the realignment of those two parcels to encompass that site and with the additional properties.
So the original site was done, the boundaries weren't delineated properly, is that part of the issue?
Yes. The full fort is actually set kind of cattywampus in there, and it basically cut off the northwesterly side of the fort. Over the years, in the 60s and late 80s there, they found the rest of the fort through more excavation stuff around that site. And it's been, they've just finally come around to where they want to encompass that whole site so that it's preserved, so that they can work with the other agencies for the state to preserve that site. So it's, just donating another 0.21 acres of property.
Okay, so then all the standards for approval of variances have been met?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the request, but at the same time, I also move that we express our appreciation to the Pearson family for donating this additional land.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second, comment? I think that's a good motion, I think we ought to express our gratitude to the Pearson family for this. I think this is something that'll correct the discrepancies and help the historic site moving forward. Any other comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The second item that I bring before you today was a request for conditional use to allow for a commercial greenhouse to be built on the Wind River View Campground property. This property is owned by JOM LLC, and the conditional use for this commercial greenhouse. The reason that I went through this as a conditional use was there's only basically one other zoning district that a commercial greenhouse or greenhouse is mentioned at all. That is in the rural mix, and there's very limited amounts of that. There's some down towards Big Piney. The other spot that I think a commercial greenhouse would be allowed would be in agriculture, because that's your growing product, and it's very broad determination there. We do have a commercial greenhouse in light industrial. Another spot is another one of those that's not specifically designated in there, but it has been allowed in the past. The applicants have been operating trailer park out there, and with the decline in business and such, they are trying to come up with other avenues to make that property profitable. The proposal to begin with was to allow the construction of this greenhouse with the condition that it have a 3-year time period on it to see if it was a viable thing, if they could make it work, and then at that time come back for either an extension or of the conditional use permit or change the zoning on that property in order to move it forward. One of the reasons we didn't go initially with a zone change was the other aspects of changing the zoning on that property could bring into play. I think that a highway commercial zoning fits with the location of that property and would fit with the commercial campground business that's there and would fit with a commercial greenhouse. But if we changed it to highway commercial, then it also opens up the availability of gas stations, parking facilities, some more of the commercial activities that didn't feel would really be warranted. With the conditional use, I felt that we would have quite a little bit of control with how that property was used going forward and be able to bring it back for review in a couple of years to see if we wanted to move forward with that. There was lengthy discussion in the P&Z meeting about the commercial greenhouse didn't fit within the RS1 zoning district because it is not mentioned specifically as that. The other topic that got brought up was that the zoning should be in place and we should only allow those things in that zoning district which are specifically allowed in the RIPs. Very good points, all around. My thought and process This was discussed, and I think there's certain couple of people here that would, you know, like to put their input in on it too. This was discussed with planning and zoning. It was motioned to approve, but we did have a 2-2 split vote. So,
so you did not approve it?
We did not.
Send out neighbor notices?
Yes, I did.
What did you get back?
Most all of the neighbors had commented. I had three comments that were all in favor of greenhouse. To be in that neighborhood, you know, had no problem with it. The one comment that I did get back was that opposing it was that the zoning did not fit the use. So that is the one objection that I've had.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, pardon me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner.
I have to believe that some folks here are here for this reason. Wonder if it might not be appropriate to see if we have a comment from those who may be interested in this before we go into further much discussion on it.
That'd be fine.
The applicant, Jordan Engineering, the applicants are here.
Questions? Comments? Yes, sir.
Just, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners,
could you just please state your name for the record?
Plant Blake Swift, I'm here on behalf of the Circle M Ranch. We have bought the property for the proposed greenhouse. We have no issue with the greenhouse. We think the greenhouse is a great project. We just think that it's in the wrong location. You know, it's not, the proposed greenhouse is a clear violation of the zoning in that area. And with the comprehensive, the county's comprehensive plan. Spot zoning is fundamentally no zoning. So Sullivan County is one of 17 counties in our state to adopt zoning. Six have no restrictions. And Sullivan County has chosen to have zoning, we ask that zoning be enforced, which was the vote from the zoning board meeting. Not only does the project not qualify for conditional use, it meets only a limited number of the county's goals for land use. If successful, it will encourage economic stability in the ag sector. But if fertilizer or pesticides were to leak out of a greenhouse, which are typically used in greenhouses, and somehow get into the New Fork ecosystem, that could have a negative impact on other economic activities in the county. And I don't know how a greenhouse promotes the health and biodiversity of land, or how it's good for wildlife and society as a whole. So that is why we've taken a position to against the greenhouse in the Wind River.
Thank you for those comments.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes.
Thank you. Chris Hayes, representing Two Rivers Fishing Company, Flash Out in town here. And I'd like to echo the previous concern there regarding the potential for runoff of fertilizers or pesticides into the New Fork River. This is a serious concern that we have as far as containment of any kind of runoff on site, and given the location, the high likelihood that any breach of containment would inevitably end up in the river and cause contamination of not just chemical pesticides, but fertilizers, nutrients, and potentially lead to increased growth in algal life in the river, which inevitably leads to a decline of fish population. So, as a representative of the fishing community here specifically, those concerns are certainly high on our list for the location of the proposed greenhouse.
Thank you for those comments.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
County Commissioner, I'm Lou Arambell, the owner of the property. We have initiated this sequence on our ranching, other agricultural properties by making starters for our plants. We wanted to increase the availability of produce with a year-round supply of fresh vegetables here for Suffolk County. And we would be able to have 12 months a year completely contained environment there on that property by utilizing the well that we drilled in 2016 on that property. And the electricity availability of that property, our other agricultural properties within the county are off of the grid, and so we wouldn't have the access to the amenities necessary to stimulate the produce for Suffolk County. And so we thought it would be an excellent opportunity to be able to integrate that property because there's new RV parks and things being built here in town. We've seen a decline in our business, and we're trying to stimulate this property to help us out and keep it alive. Okay. And that's about all we have.
Thank you. Any questions for Dennis? And Dennis, your board did not approve this, and they thought it was a 2-2, which is not approval. And what was the basis for that?
It was split. The need or the want for the greenhouse, two of them supported that. The other two agreed with Mr. Swift as far as the zoning. The use would not fit the zoning that was there. That was their split.
Yes.
Brian Gray, on behalf of the applicant, if I John Dennis is never here for the meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission discussed possibly tabling this item as they wanted to kind of discuss it a little more and maybe talk about it and see what the fit may or may not be. But on behalf of the applicant, we had tried to have them reconsider the vote to move this along because the applicant submitted this CUP permit in March, and originally we're scheduled for an April hearing, and obviously due to COVID things have been delayed, and their goal was to try to get this up this summer, and by delaying it, wouldn't give them the opportunity to get the greenhouse started this summer unless they get going right away. So that was part of the decision, or I guess just food for input from the PNZ meeting that the time is of the essence to get things growing this summer, obviously, and then by making use of the available power and water on the property, that's where the greenhouse location was best suited for their property. So just thought I'd offer that opportunity.
Dennis, what is the status of your Planning and Zoning Commission? Do you not have five members, or one of them out temporarily? Is there going to need to be another appointment? Because I think it's critical that an issue like this, obviously when you have a tie vote, typically when you come before the commissioners, you have a recommendation, whether for approval or disapproval. We've never been faced with the opportunity that you're not presenting us with a recommendation. You've given us your vote, your commission, basically the motion didn't pass because it don't have a majority vote. So what is the, in terms of tabling it, in terms of reviewing it, what is the status of that commission with regards to getting up to a full five-member group?
The status of the commission currently, we have four active members. I have one member that, to begin with, was temporarily deployed back into the military service. I have not heard back from him at this point. We do have two other positions that are coming up for renewal. Both of those board members come back this fall or not. So we do have, it's not necessarily vacant, but it's, he's not active right now.
He's deployed right now.
So, Commissioners, what are your thoughts? I mean, we typically, when we're considering requests such as this, we have a recommendation from planning and zoning. On this particular request, there is no recommendation. How would you like to proceed?
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Just a thought, I guess, or first a question for Dennis. Is there any, in what zoned areas are greenhouses specified as an allowable use? Is it specified in agriculture?
No.
So there's nowhere that it is that correct?
It is specified in rural mix. Rural mix, which is basically an agricultural business district. It's split for agricultural driven businesses, greenhouses, arenas, farm implement sales, even housing sales and stuff such.
But so
agricultural, I think it's covered in the agricultural district, just because of the general agricultural use, you're growing a product.
So would a rural mixed designation allow for a campground? Would seem like it would.
Not necessarily. I think highway commercial would more allow for a campground, or even some of the agricultural. I think you could, since guest ranches and stuff like that, public facilities along those lines would be allowed. So I think you could almost allow that in agricultural types.
I guess my thought is this is it's a good project, and it would be good if we could see it go forward. I can't imagine that putting fertilizer on plants inside a greenhouse is going to be any threat to Newford River. I mean, that's up on the hill. It's a long ways from the river. It would be different than having center pivot next to the river, which we have now in places where you apply fertilizer through a sprinkler system, and if something went wrong there, that fertilizer could run, conceivably get into the water. But in this case, I can't envision that as that part of it as being any concern. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that. I think with all the agricultural around it, there's fertilizers and stuff that are placed on all of the hay grounds and stuff throughout the county. All of those runoffs, you know, through irrigation or whatnot, end up back in the river system or through the watershed. I don't think it's going to be that detrimental. I don't see that stuff traveling, you know, any differently than any of the agricultural type products that are installed, you know, put on any of the fields. This property is a 10-acre property that's out there. Currently, it is all zoned RS1. The minimum standards for the rural mix is 3 acres to be zoned rural mix. So it is possible moving forward in the future to split the zoning on that property to make that in compliance with the regulations. That was part of the review process that we proposed within a 3-year time period. As far as some of the other zonings, highway commercial also fits, and I think we could make the campground fit with that. Again, the greenhouse is specifically designated within the highway commercial, but it is a commercial operation. So moving forward, I think we could see similar uses in both of those different zone districts, and that it could be rezoned in order to make it fit.
discussion over?
So, my thoughts on this are that I don't believe the fertilizer is a concern to me either, but I do believe this is a spot zoning. And I'd like to much rather see it go through the zoning process and become rural mixed or highway commercial. Because right now this is a stretch to me. And you don't have any unanimous vote from your board, which concerns me also.
Commissioner Rao, has your comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I can understand both sides of this. And there is going to be a huge investment on you guys' part for a three-year program that could be jerked out from underneath you if there's a problem that this group is thinking could happen. So I would hate to see us be put in the middle of saying there was an accident out there, whether it be fertilizer or whatever, or it doesn't fit the variance, and you guys spent a lot of money and it didn't work. But I hate to stifle economic development here in the county. But that being said, I am a firm believer that we have a planning and zoning board to decide and bring to us decisions, and they did, and it was not approved. And so myself personally, I'm going with the Planning and Zoning Board, because if I don't, as an individual county commissioner, there's no reason to have that board. All of this would come to us, and we'd be at meetings at 10 o'clock at night.
You know, I like this, as it's probably a very, very good endeavor. But somewhat in conjunction with Commissioner Rojas, that I look at it, the thing that I'm concerned with is twofold. Number one, we have a 2-2 vote, which actually should say they did not approve it. And I think we are, to some degree, dictated by what those boards that we approve bring before us. Secondly, the thing that I guess disturbs me the most is with planning and zoning has planning and zoning. And if we approve every conditional use, then we may as well do away with planning and zoning, because it's out there for a specific something, whatever that something may be. And when people acquire property, myself included, I know or should know what those properties are made for. And if I wanted to have one for an airport, I'd better buy that property for the airport. So I guess for me, again, the big issue here is planning and zoning recommended, or I guess did not approve it. And I know, to echo Commissioner Rauhauser, for 3 years you're going to have a huge investment in that thing, and then what if, and that would be, I think, in my mind at least, a deterrent for being involved in this and voting for it, where in fact planning and zoning has said we don't approve it. So I guess in retrospect, perhaps planning and zoning could go back and look at this issue again. I know that doesn't help your situation, but I think that's the best thing, at least today, that should occur. And that's my take.
Any other comments from the commission? If not, I would consider a motion to either approve or not approve this conditional use permit.
Second that, Mr. Chairman.
So we have a motion before us not to approve the conditional use permit. Is there any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, is there any way that if this is disapproved, that it can go back to the Planning and Zoning Board with more discussion.
Yes, the application can come back through.
It can come back through. Okay. Very good.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to see this come back to the AZ to see if they can't reach some consensus on a zoning designation that would fit. And that would be my preference.
I agree with you, Commissioner Bell. Okay, we have a motion and a second to not approve the conditional use permit. I'll call for a vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Sorry, guys.
Commissioners, your next item on your agenda, I'm kind of bringing forth also. It was the proposal for a.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I'll let Greg talk since he's already here.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, how are you this morning?
Fine, would you introduce yourself to the newspaper, please?
My name is Greg Gringo. I'm with Visionary Broadband out of Gillette, Wyoming.
Well,
I was here and started this process in February at a commissioner's meeting asking about leasing some property from the county to build a tower up here by my area. And, of course, the little pandemic has thrown the monkey wrench into all that process, but Dennis and I have been working on going forward with planning and zoning here, and we provided him a whole packet of information as well as you gentlemen before, too. We would really like to consider, or have the county consider leasing us a small parcel up there to build a 100-foot tower to put wireless broadband. One of the questions that Dennis asked me before is co-location would be considered other people being on this tower if we do build it. And my answer to that was, yes, we will consider the county emergency services, any communication needs within the city or the county, but as far as other providers of wireless, that's the reason why we're building the tower, is to get away from the situation that we have in that area now. that's pretty much it in a nutshell. We've been delayed for several months now, and we'd kind of like to get this process going in one direction or the other so we can
So with this proposal, how it was presented to you last time also, was we kind of need to come to a conclusion whether or not the county would lease them a portion of that ground in order to install this tower. Once that has been done, I think we can come up with a lease agreement. The 100-foot tower needs to go through variance stage for the additional height on that tower. Equipped at the location, we can have 100% of setback for the height of the tower within that. So if something catastrophic would happen with that tower, it would not affect any other property or any buildings within that property. So as Greg has stated, bringing this forward to you just to get a determination on whether would lease that ground to them, and then from that point we can move forward with agreements, etc.
Commissioner,
Mr. Chairman. So my first question is this all going to be licensed microwave off your tower? Or is there some that's unlicensed?
There's not a licensed spectrum as well. The licensed spectrum, see,
where we're at on that area right now, the license spectrum is not an issue as far as what we're dealing with. It's the unlicensed spectrum that is causing this problem. So primarily, this tower would be used, there would be probably two license links that would be on this tower, and then everything else would be unlicensed spectrum that broadcast into the community.
So therein lies a concern to me, and I correct me if I'm wrong. You just stated that that's the problem with Mount Airy is all the unlicensed spectrum. So I feel like it should be a standard in the county to make sure that if we do allow a tower, it has licensed spectrum on it, so we don't inquire that same problem over and over and over throughout the county.
The problem with that is, Mr. Noble, is the equipment that is being used in the industry at this point, the licensed spectrum is strictly a transmission beam bringing bandwidth into a point, and the unlicensed spectrum is what is used to broadcast the signal to the businesses and homes within the community. If we had to use license link, then everyone would be paying about $400 a month for their internet. So and you would end up with the same problem with license link eventually. You would fill up the spectrum. You know, we have, so on Mount Airy, we have a spectrum that we broadcast in, say it's 5G, okay? And there is another operator up there that has the same equipment. And initially when it was all put together, the bandwidth was split, the spectrum was split, say, okay, we'll use this, you use this, everybody will be happy. And in the years since then, the other operator has taken it upon himself to do whatever he wants to. We still maintain this area of coverage and try to do that as much as possible. We're looking at this tower as a situation of, we're building a major tower in the valley here, because if not, our service is going to go away. We cannot maintain the service for our customers, the commercial entities, anything else, because of what we're dealing with up there. There's no more room for another tower in that area. And even if we could build another tower up there, it's too close, we would still be fighting any of those issues. So we were proposing building this tower down on Lower Ridge to the north. It would get us away from his noise. It would cure his problem with dealing with us. It would cure our problem with dealing with him. And still provide the community with a choice as what they can do for their broadband needs, and hopefully help everybody out in the process going forward.
So, to make it clear, I'm 100% in favor of broadband in Sumner County. But I do know the RF interference is a problem.
And as in conjunction with, the RF energy that we have, if the towers and the providers are separated far enough, you don't have interference.
Right. I just have concerns.
I understand.
And one of those is, okay, we allow you a tower. Any competitor is going to come in and say, oh, we want a new tower next to it, and then we're going to be encompassing the same issues. So you see what I'd like to come up with a way.
And I appreciate your concern, but by isolating us off of Mount Airy, I mean, there's one ideal location in this part of the world for, and that's Mount Airy. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at is pulling ourselves out of that, giving ourselves a less than ideal location, but it's ideal for the valley here for us and our business. It still gives our competitor his equipment on the hill. We take our noise away from him, and we take his noise away from us. I mean, with the, they're never an ideal situation. We fight this in Cheyenne as well. You know, huge community down there, and there's more than just two providers down there. But it's one of those, you're going to have more and more towers requests coming at you all the time. Not because of providers, because because of speed. As the internet speeds increase on the wireless spectrum, the distance it can broadcast becomes less and less. So don't be surprised in the future that, I mean, we picked this location because we know we can cover the valley for several jumps in speed and not have to have more towers. But other providers are going to come in and start wanting to build towers because, you know, 5G, you know, 5G technology on cell phones is literally 1,000 feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all the further it will broadcast. And, you know, up to 250 gig speed on ours, we're still capable of several miles, but if you get faster than that, it starts dropping down rapidly. So we're just trying to be proactive, get this put in place, not only help us out, but help the, our customers and move forward from there. And not have to request another 5 towers in the next 10 years.
I think I've expressed my concerns. I'll give the other ones a chance to say something. I would like to come up with a solution, but I don't know what that is, and I wish you guys had a suggestion. And I know Dennis has been working on it also, because we're going to get 10 more requests the day you get yours approved.
Well, I guess my question from you would be from who?
I mean, we both know 5G's coming, Union, and I don't want to name out names. But
yeah, no, I understand.
This is the first request we've had to lease, I'm asking this question, to lease for broadband tower.
It is.
Okay, Commissioner Bowden?
Well, I strongly support increasing our broadband availability in the county. Some questions that I wrote down while we were talking. Do you have a designated area that this would cover, that would give service to with this location? How broad of an area? What would be the cost? Do you know yet what the cost would be to an individual homeowner to hook on the broadband? I think the idea of competition is great. Would you be hooking on, and I'm technically an idiot on this stuff, so bear in mind, would you be hooking on to like the Union Fiber that's and then rebroadcasting, or
so most
of that, what does that mean?
Most of our locations that we have in a tower construction like this, we would buy a fiber connection. So all of our towers, if you have a tower standing here, we have redundant connections coming to it, either wireless or on fiber and wireless. So that if there is a failure in the network on one side or the other, we still maintain connectivity going forward. So yes, the fiber is definitely a possibility. Fiber is close enough that we would probably buy a fiber connection and pull it into this tower so that we would have 2 paths of information coming in. There'd be one link coming from Mount Airy to this tower and then use the fiber as the other link, so we have a redundancy. As far as what it costs for customers to hook up to this, it is a standard 50, you know, for a 50 meg down, 5 meg up connection. I believe it's $59. There's no extra fees, there's no nothing for us to build this tower. For us, the cost to us to build the tower is about, for a 100-foot guide tower, it would cost us about between $35,000 and $50,000 to build. A 100-foot self-supporting tower would cost us $105,000 to
$135,000
to build.
So, I guess one follow-up question, if you go forward with this, then would you have plans to broaden the coverage throughout the county? Because that's one thing I would like to see, is not everybody just come in and provide coverage to the town of Pineville, but we need to broaden the coverage to the remote areas of the county. Is that in your plan?
That is in our plan. To start moving up into Daniel, that part of the world. Now, we cover, you know, Big Piney, Older, all the way, I mean, the municipalities between here and Rock Springs we have coverage on, and we have some remote coverage into the outer reaches of the county. We do, if consumers come to us and ask us, you know, we have a group of six people that live in this valley, we really want internet coverage, we will sit down with them, put together an agreement, and build a connection and go to them and take the internet to them. I mean, we're always looking to expand, always. And it's even come more to the forefront in the last couple months with everything that's going on. People having to stay home and work from home, school from home, shop from home. So we look at, oh, and you had one other question about the coverage of this tower. I'm sorry. Basically, it will cover everything that you can see within the mountains here in the valley from the north side up here. And, I can't remember the town name. But the divide that runs to the north, northwest up here, all the way around and down, this tower will see all the way to Boulder.
But it would just go to Boulder, not.
We have coverage south of Boulder too. We actually have another tower. There is a company that built a tower several years ago down by Sand Creek, and we leased space on it, so we actually broadcast from there up into the valley, coming from that direction as well. So we.
What's the name of the mountain? I can't think of it. Right out your door.
It's Rocky Mountain Two-Way. A company out of Casper that built a tower down there.
The basement H Bridge Tower?
Huh?
The H Bridge Tower down there?
No. It's a. That one belongs to Ultra
Enterprise.
So, yeah, I mean, there we have coverage. You know, we lease from Marbleton, the water tower's there, and we're Hogsback. We're going to be building a facility up on South Rim this summer as well. We have an agreement with Wyoming PBS there to be on their tower, and unfortunately it burned up last year, but they've got everything rebuilt at this point, so we are putting equipment under that that's going to see in Bondurant and going to the south as well.
Well, county just is in the process of putting up a new communications tower along the Lumen Road, and I don't know if there's space on that tower that we can lease to somebody to improve broadband coverage. I don't know how that works, but we have kids in school trying to go to school, and the school's telling us, you put all your kids in a car, you drive up to the school parking lot, and you try and get four kids in the back seat of a car doing their schoolwork. It is not workable.
No.
And we have a dire need to improve broadband coverage. The only thing we can get is through Dish Network from satellite. They're way over $100 a month for far less speed than what you're talking about.
Well, then you hit the data cap and it costs you some more. So it, yes, we actually work with several counties. Laramie County being one of the big ones at this point. They have towers all the way around Cheyenne. We lease tower space from them. We'll lease tower space from anybody that's got a tower that's available to us to bring to broaden the coverage so we can get internet to more people. The other thing that we have too is Wyoming. We have an agreement with the state of Wyoming on the Wyoming towers that we can get on most of those as well if they're growing. So, yeah, we're not trying to be a bully in the neighborhood here. We're just trying to give everybody an opportunity to have a good internet connection, be able to do your schooling, shopping, whatever you need to do to work, and give everybody an alternative as far as decision making as to who they want to use for a provider.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. So we're talking about Mount Airy and we're talking about interference. That's the big, and that's about all. I'm kind of with Joel.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But you haven't mentioned Big Piney Marbleton, but you mentioned the water towers and the things. So they don't have an interference problem there, and everything is good there? Or do we need a spot in Big Piney, whether it be on Ross Butte or the Hog's Back?
The interference problem on Mount Airy is strictly due to real estate. So a standard non-spectrum antenna, or a spectrum antenna that's unlicensed, if you have those on a tower, you try to have 6 foot of separation in between each set of antennas on your tower to eliminate noise interference. Well, the towers on Mount Airy are about 35, 40 foot tall that we're on, and this stuff is stacked in there like jigsaw puzzles, because we can only service so many people off each one of those antennas. You know, it's not like put up an antenna and just start sending signal to people. Each one of those antennas is only capable of servicing 16 to 20 subscribers. So each time that spectrum fills up, we have to add more equipment. So your speed and your bandwidth at your home or your office doesn't start dropping. That's why there is noise issues on that area. All we're doing is looking at expanding the real estate. If we build a tower here, it would literally be good for 30 years for what we're proposing to build for a tower in our needs. Taking our equipment off of Mount Airy gives our competitor all the real estate that he would need for the next 30 years to take care of the business that he needs. So in respect to improving broadband capabilities here in the Valley, either our competitor or ourselves are going to have to move off of that area. And we're taking the initiative to do that because we don't want to have complaints from our customers on what kind of service they're getting. And we have those complaints every day now, every day.
Mr. Baker?
I think the last time you were here, we discussed, or I did, I asked what's the Valley, and you didn't include the Daniel part of the Valley, which is where I live. So, and I heard you sort of touch base on that a little bit here today. So I guess my question would be, Daniel, on that area is, if you get this tower built, how long would it be before those communities would be, or have the accessibility of the speed that most of us would like to have?
And that would be, I'm hoping this summer. I'm not going to guarantee you that, because with all the pandemic stuff that's happened this year, it is literally taking we have a schedule of towers that we build each month. And because of the increased demand for internet that's been put on us with the coronavirus pandemic issues, it's thrown us probably 3 to 4 months behind. We have to go back to our existing towers. We're rebuilding them to handle the increased load. But Daniel and Monterey, as soon as we get South Rim, that tower built up there that we already have a lease for with Wyoming PBS, all we gotta do is get up there and put the equipment in. Then we can start providing service into Daniel and Monterey from there. We will still have a link up here on Mount Airy, so we can point into that direction, and that'll be the next place I'm coming to, is around Daniel. I mean, this is what I do, is go around and survey the countryside, find the best spot for a tower, and come to the landowners, whoever they may be, and ask them, what would it take, what can we do to put a tower up to help the coverage. And Daniel is definitely on our radar. We've been talking about it. I talked about it with this company when I was here 3 years ago, and now I'm pushing on it, because I know there's definitely, from your comment and other people that I've talked to, just wandering around town here having lunch or whatever, there's definitely a need for internet over that part of the world too.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, one more little follow-up thing. The request for a lease agreement, what would that lease agreement look like?
Basically, the lease agreement would state that we want to lease a small parcel from the county up on top of the ridge above the gun range up here. It would be less than 1 acre. Most of these are situated within a half acre site. And we'd like to lease it for a period of, we'd like to have a 10-year lease on it with an option for 2 renewals. But sometimes with municipalities, they prefer to go with a 5-year lease with 2 renewals after that. The lease would again hold the county harmless as far as anything that happens if there's, you know, damage, whatever. I mean, we don't, all we're looking for is real estate to build the tower on and have a good relationship with the county going forward. I wanted to come. We deal with BLM on tower sites all over the state, and I could have done that here, but I wanted to come to the county and actually work with you guys here on a proposal, because there's going to be more stuff coming down the road on the broadband part of it. And I would rather see the county benefit from it than the federal government at this point. So you guys, I came to you first because I want to deal with local municipalities and the counties and try to put these agreements together.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to go back to my question again to Marbleton, Big Piney, and the towers. We don't have a problem there.
No, because we're the only provider there.
You're the only provider there. So, okay, thank you.
Yeah, they have CenturyLink, they have fiber in certain parts of
Marbleton. Sure. Right.
And, you know, that's the big thing. Everybody says, oh, they're running fiber. Well, yeah, they pull fiber through your town and they'll take it to City Hall and they'll take it here. But unless you want to pay $3,000 to $5,000 to $7,000 to have that fiber link pulled into your home, they're not going to bring it to you. Mm-hmm. So we utilize that capability, bring it into our wireless system. You know, we'll park a 10 gig connection up here on top of the hill and broadcast that into the community. You know, you don't have to pay for installation. It's $59 a month. There's no contract. And I'm not trying to be a salesman. it's one of those deals where we provide a product that people use a lot.
You made a comment earlier that you would be interested or had interest in talking to groups of six or more that lived in a certain area that was without service, perhaps something that an agreement could be reached between you and them on whether it's a tower location or starting to provide services. Can you explain that a little bit?
We have a group. There's two gentlemen that work within our company. One's named Rob Daniels. The other one's name is Tyler Hackworth. And they've been with our company for 6-7 years, each one of them. And that's their specific function is we get daily phone calls from ranchers, resorts, all kinds of different individuals wanting in. And they're out in the Tuluwa somewhere, and there's, you know, they have, their only option at this point is Dish Network or HughesNet. And so we will set out and engineer a system to take from our closest point and build a relay system to get to them. And then put a tower in and distribute the internet to however many people want it, whether it's one person or 40, we don't care. We'll build it, but it is expensive. You know, the equipment, typical equipment on a tower to go into, to feed a half dozen people, you know, the equipment on that tower is probably $12,000 to $14,000, plus your tower costs. So, these two gentlemen that I just spoke about, they engineer these systems, they put together a pricing strategy, and sat down with the members of the community that are asking for this, and say, okay, these are your options. We can do it for this, and you pay X amount per month, or if you want to give us some money up front to help us with the build-out cost, we'll reduce your monthly internet costs going forward. You know, There's all kinds of different varieties of ways of doing it. So we do it. I mean, those guys, they work their butts off. I know at least six between Sheridan, Wheatland, Orange Junction, Manville, Mule Creek Junction, and Vidaboo in between Cheyenne and wherever that they're working on right now. Getting internet into people. Because these little subdivisions crop up out in the middle of nowhere, and those people are wanting internet. So, yes, we concentrate on that. We pride ourselves in being able to do that and take it into whether it's one person, 30 people. I mean, if you call us and ask us, we'll engineer a system and bring it to you.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have one question. Dennis, is this our property?
Yes.
That we're talking, this isn't BLM.
No.
This is ours, the county's. Okay.
So this is, we're just west of town here at the industrial site at the gun range.
At the gun range. Okay. Because I didn't know, because I was asked the question about the gun range the other day about a brochure. And I wasn't sure if it was we were leasing the gun range from the BLM or if the county owned it all. Okay, thank you.
Chairman, I make a motion that we provide Visionary or move into the conversation of a lease agreement with Visionary that encompasses easements for power and their tower and spell out whether they're going to let, who they're going to let on or off of their tower in this lease agreement. And the price of how much the county's going to get. So I think Dennis and Clayton, Greg?
Yeah.
I know that was kind of hard. So my motion is to give Visionary and Dennis, county attorney, permission to move forward on the lease agreement.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Clayton?
If I may, just for clarification, I want to make sure that everyone's on the same page on what that would be on next steps.
Yeah.
So essentially, at this point, if there is consensus, or if there ends up being consensus from the group to then essentially authorize the lease, a couple of major things need to be decided first, and could be decided here today and could help expedite this, because we can iron out all the little bit of details, but the main things are going to be price, term, and a couple of those things that I just don't know if the group is prepared to make those decisions today, or are you authorizing Dennis and myself to work with Craig to negotiate that with them?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, my thought
would be you work with the provider to come up with a proposal to bring back to us to approve. Right, including Commissioner Noble's concerns about easements, restrictions on other providers, allowing them to use that site, you said exclusively, and something to that effect. So I think the motion is to that the commissioners would approved going forward with trying to get an equitable lease agreement between the county and the interested party, and you have the leeway to have such discussions and come back to us with a proposal. Is that satisfactory?
Yes, so my understanding is such that develop, figure out what questions need to be answered, bring those questions back to the commissioner, presumably in 2 weeks, and the commission would then decide on the specific subset of those things.
I think that's correct, yes.
I wouldn't say questions, I would say proposal. Because we don't know what the price is going to be. That's up to Dennis and Greg and you to propose what that price should be by reaching out to
us to put together
proposal, not questions.
Well, a proposal would have a yes, yeah, we're on the same page, Commissioner.
Okay, as long as you and Dennis have that understanding, and Carrie has a motion, I guess we can be ready for a vote.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
I think, Dennis, and this is directed towards you, my biggest concern with towers moving forward is I want to avoid this community looking like a porcupine.
Correct.
And you and I have had that conversation. It's a tough hurdle, but we got to figure it out soon.
Yes, correct.
And I, any assistance you can give as a provider to that? Because I think for cell phone towers, they can co-locate. But for broadband, they can't. It's a whole spectrum of problems.
Well, just to clarify on that,
yes,
real quick. A cell phone, they can co-locate. They're using the same frequencies. Doesn't matter. You know, the only difference is basically the SIM card in the phone is telling where that signal goes to. So with the broadband end of it, it's a little more target specific, and you know, in a perfect world, we could. I would love to lease tower space to anybody that wanted to be on one.
Well, I understand, and I commend you for being straightforward and saying no.
Yeah,
I respect that completely. My goal here with this conversation is, yes, we got to figure it out soon. Because
yeah,
we don't want a tower every quarter mile.
Right. Well, one of the discussions that Dennis and I had, the location that I picked for where this tower is going to be is below the skyline. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting downtown here and looking that direction, the chances are you probably won't see it because it's below the ridge. I mean, we don't want Pinedale to turn into a porcupine either. That's why we're saying let us build a 100-foot tower. It'll be good for 30 years. We won't have to have anything else after that. So,
thank you.
Having said that, we don't want porcupines down south. I say that from the standpoint.
Yeah.
The other side of this coin is we are trying to increase broadband services to all of our county, not just the metropolitan areas, but those areas that are in need, and the need of which has become more apparent after this COVID-19 thing. So I understand Commissioner Noble's point with the porcupine appearance, but there's going to be some give and take as we move forward if we're going to try to have more coverage than what's currently available. At least that's my thinking. But I think you guys have enough with this motion in terms of moving forward to try to get together and present to us a proposal that we can consider with the idea of the county leasing the property for such service. Any other comments?
I think the only thing I need to say is that this proposal and this project looks to me like that it's going to benefit the people of Sublette County. And that is the most important thing. We are going to get better broadband service to the people in the outlying areas, and that's the key. It's going to spread out. It's going to give more people service, and that's kind of why we're here.
And better service, because allowing us to build this tower is also going to allow us to bring in 100 meg and 250 meg speeds. You know, so we're going to be able to be basically five times faster than what we are right now by being able to do this. And the one last comment that I'd like to make is, if there is anywhere in this county that you guys know that we need to get coverage into, I'll leave a business card with everybody again. And I mean,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's one of those deals where that's our business. I mean, when you call and say, hey, I need some service, we bring it. So, and I'm not trying to be a salesman here, but I know there's places in eastern Wyoming, in Platte County, there's people that don't even have telephones that we're pulling internet to so they can have communication with the outside world.
Thank you. Any other comments? We have a motion and a second. If there's not, I'll call the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Anything else with us?
I do not have anything else.
I think we'll take a 5-minute recess when we get into our own business.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of neighbors around that area. I can think of 6 or 8. He could broadcast from there.
Well, it should be adjusted. I think there are also some losses from the message from all the way down the range and just on the location.
But you can't reach us from the one in Marlton because you got Chamber Hill in the way. Yeah. But if you had something across view or even the hillside that's so long, I'll probably go right up to 351. There's a hillside there. It's not as good as high as Ross Street, but if you have Ross Street, that's a hell of a
Yes.
Several hundred feet up.
Nope, but I'm gonna, I do.
I've got it.
You got it?
I've got it. I can see that. I can see that.
I don't have anything to do. Thank you for your questions.
Well, you did, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, you know, this gentleman talks about me, I am too, but I'm just the guy who goes out and talks to those teams and people, puts the laces together as he's winding up.
Oh, Sam.
So, and always get good questions too, so.
Yeah, I think you know where I'm going.
Yes, conversation.
So trying to include those in our lease agreement. What we've done, we have a stand for every guy is,
did you have that? Oh, no. Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to think what I got for old business. I had something.
Yeah, well, I don't.
What did I do? I went to the fair. I went to the fair meeting. There was something else.